أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ربي انتقنا بالهدى والهمنا التقوى السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather to learn more about Him and to connect to Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. As we had 2 days together yesterday, we began with a short discussion. I wouldn't say a full interpretation, but a short discussion of one of the du'as that we recite frequently every day in the month of Ramadan. And that's a dua, Allahumma adkhil ala ahli al-qubur al-surur. We said that this dua is a dua that not only should we be reciting it in this month, but we should try and incorporate that into our daily duas. In one of the prayers, we should incorporate this dua within it, you know. I remember when we were, you know, like our habit is very, we are very habitual people. Very habitual. We do something and we'll always continue doing that till the end of times, you know. And one of our habits is that we recite the same 5 du'as every single day. Every single day. After subuh, we pray the same du'a. After dhuhr, we pray, if we even recite du'a, we recite that du'a. And then after asr, they will recite the same du'a. And I remember one of our teachers in the house, I was saying, you know, you guys are very boring. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you know, spice it up. There are so many other du'as out there, right? And so this is one of those du'as. You can replace it. You will not get a lightning bolt struck on you or nothing bad will happen, you know. This is a very beautiful du'a. And it's a du'a that serves the ethics or the ethos of du'a where we pray for others, right? And so let's learn more about it, see what we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for in this du'a. So that maybe it can enhance our connection to Him as well. We covered the first 3 verses of this dua, and today we'll try to get through as many as we can. We say in this dua next is, Allahumma ksu kulla uriyan. Yeah? That, O Allah, clothe everyone who is unclothed, basically. Clothing is one of the beautiful gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He mentions in the Holy Quran, you know. The fact that we cover ourselves is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognized its importance and gave us ways of covering ourselves. Clothing is one of these things which are a universal need, right, throughout mankind. Since the time, if we look at the Quran, that when did clothing come about, right? It came about when Adam and Hawa ate from the tree. As soon as they ate from the tree, the modesty, the natural modesty that was already present in them was gone. And at that time, they recognized each other's unclothed state. And that's when they decided to grab leaves and they decided to cover themselves. And then Allah taught them the art of clothing. But prior to that, they were unclothed, but they had this natural haya, natural modesty that God had given them, that it wasn't even something that they were looking at or thinking about. Imagine how beautiful of a state this state would be. But then clothing was needed, right? And it's not that it's their fault that clothing was needed. It's that this was going to be an eventuality. They were just the way the ball started rolling, I guess you can say. You know, like sometimes people blame Adam and Hawa that because of them we're out of Jannah. You know, that's not the case, right? Allah tells us very clearly that when He spoke to the angels, He says, I'm creating human beings to put them on earth, not to put them in Jannah. So Adam and them were eventually going to make their way out of Jannah. They just sped up the process a little bit, right? And so this is something that we consider a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this blessing in the Holy Quran. In Surah number 7, verse number 26, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bani Adam, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسٌ يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا. He says, O children of Adam, Surely we have sent down for you clothing that covers your shame and an attire that causes beauty. This external clothing is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It holds many purposes, but one, it guards our modesty, protects our modesty, gives us haya. And secondly, it's a form of zina, it's a form of beauty, right? We can identify different cultures through this, we can beautify ourselves through this, and still maintain our modesty, still maintain our hijab. And so when we are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, you know, when we say Allahumma aksa kulla uriyan, it depends on what the need of the person is. There are definitely some people in this world who need external clothing because of their poverty, because of the state that they are in. They need these external clothings, and there's a responsibility that we have to try to provide for those who are less fortunate. I think this is something we covered yesterday when we said, Allahumma aghni kulla faqir. It's one thing I say, Allah, like, you know, remove the poverty from everybody, but then I'm very tight with my wallet and I don't share my wealth at all, then this dua is backfiring every time I'm saying it, because Allah is looking at me saying, Baba, you're not giving. Yeah? Be careful of what we ask from God. Yeah? Always be very careful. Because if we're not meeting the criteria that we're asking for, I think God, you know, if this was true, like, it's not true obviously, but God's laughing at us, you know? Like, you know, like we're making fools of ourselves. In Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, ma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. He has this very beautiful dua, a very beautiful hadith where he talks about the instances when we make fools of ourselves. He says, we make fools of ourselves many times. He's like, we ask Allah, oh Allah, give me Jannah, and then my own actions are taking me towards the hellfire. He said, I'm making a fool of myself. Yeah, we ask Allah for wealth, but then I don't economize. We're making fools of ourselves. And so it's really important that when we ask God for something, we carry it out. And so if those who need external clothing, we are there to try to assist them, whether it is to give, whether it is to provide, whatever it is that we can do. And of course, there are those who need internal clothing. And so we have to realize, whether it's ourselves or others, what kind of internal clothing, be it modesty, spirituality, kindness, generosity, so many different things that we need to have this internal and external clothing both provided to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In addition, in this dua, this small dua that we are saying, Allahumma aksa kulla uriyan, that, oh Allah, clothe everyone who is unclothed. What we are also asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is to cover our shortcomings, because Allah is that ultimate clothing. Yeah, that Allah is that ultimate coverer. That's why He is known as Sattar al-Uyub, isn't He? Right? And so when I'm saying this dua, Allahumma aksa kulla uriyan, my unclothedness is not really necessarily physical, but it's my deficiencies, my uyub. Yeah, I have so many. Right? That only Allah knows my true state. Allah knows what kind of person I really am. And so what I'm asking Allah is that, oh Allah, cover my shortcomings. It's a very beautiful dua that we should really appreciate, right? One of the greatest gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He covers our shortcomings. He covers our uyub. There's a really beautiful story, right? That at the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, there was a severe drought, and the people did everything they could. They prayed, and then they asked Nabi Musa to pray, because he says, you're the prophet of God. You know, they had a way of talking to Nabi Musa, you know. And so he prayed to God, and still no jawab, no rain. And so they're looking at him. They're like, what kind of prophet are you? Yeah. And so he calls Allah, he says, Ya Allah, and this is why he is Kalimullah. Allah spoke to him. He says, Ya Allah, what's going on? He says, gather everybody and tell them all to make dua. And so he gathers all the people and tells them all to make dua. Still no rain. So now Nabi Musa is like, Ya Allah, what is happening here, right? And so Allah says that there is one person from amongst this entire group who has done such a sin that because of that sin, I am not going to send rain down until that person apologizes, until that person does tawbah. And so Nabi Musa, you know, or that person leaves the community. And then I will send down rain. And so Nabi Musa makes this announcement, right? And he says to the community that there's one amongst you because of whom rain is not coming. Leave so that rain will come. Now imagine that person, right? How embarrassing it is to be identified and known in that way. And so in the fear of being so embarrassed, he at that moment makes a sincere repentance to Allah. A sincere repentance. You know, it's only when we are about on the verge of death, yeah? On the verge of sincere embarrassment or something huge that we will turn to God very sincerely. And the greatness of God is that even though He knows this sincerity is prompted by something else, He will still accept it. That's how merciful Allah is. And so Allah forgives him at that moment, and immediately rain clouds begin to appear. Yeah? And so Nabi Musa now turns to Allah and says, "What's going on? You know, you told me it's not going to happen, now it's happening." And so Nabi Musa, Allah says to Nabi Musa that this servant of mine turned to me so sincerely with repentance that I forgave him. And because I forgave him, I am going to let rain come down. And so Nabi Musa says that, "Show me who this person is who repented." Yeah? Maybe I can learn to repent in that way. He didn't have a malicious intent. But Allah's jawab at this is very beautiful. He says, "Inni satartu alayhi fi halil ma'asiya." He says, "Musa, when he was sinning, I hid his faults." Yeah? "Fakayfa afdahahu fi halil tawbah." How is it that I will then reveal him when he actually does tawbah to me? Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Ma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And so, you know, when we make this dua to Allah, that we are saying that, "Cover my shortcomings." You know, the onus falls back upon us, right? This is what we've talked about. Like, it's one thing that I say to God, "Do this for me, please." But then, like, I have to back it up through action, right? And when I say to God, "Cover my shortcomings, cover me, clothe me," I have to be making sure that I am not doing those things that bring about an exposure, right? And there are a couple of things that are really important. Number one is that we have to hide our own mistakes. We have to hide our own faults. Yeah, we can't publicize our sins and thinking that, you know, then this will be all okay, you know. It's not. Our first imam has a hadith where he says, "At-tabajjuh bil ma'asi aqbah min rukubiha." That to boast about a sin is worse than committing the sin. Yeah. Today, mashallah, we post pictures. Yeah. We do all of these things. We have no shame. We've lacked shame today, right? Sinning has become very normal. And the publicization of that sinning has become very normal. And it's a sad state that we're in. But we have to realize, right, that, like, this is where spiritual maturity matters. But spiritual maturity requires some form of mental maturity. I do believe spiritual maturity will come later than mental maturity. But we have to have some mental maturity. You know, if I want God spiritually to hide my faults, I should have that mental maturity to not expose my faults. And this is something that the young ones here and the old ones as well really have to understand, the importance of not publicizing your sins. You know, there's a statement in today's common terminology that is, the internet never forgets. Yeah? The internet never forgets. Yeah? Like, you know, like all of these things, it's really funny because, like, there are so many, like, you know, the whole Me Too movement that happened, right? Why were a lot of people afraid to support that Me Too movement? Because there might have been something they said or did a long time ago that was captured on the internet and now will come back and backfire against them, right? And so you have to be really careful about what you post on the internet, about what you like on the internet, because all of these things will be brought back to you one day when you try to profess a form of holiness. And this is where, if we handle that aspect of it, God will cover our faults, right? God is not there to reveal our faults. The second is, you know, that Hide the faults of others as much as you can, because no one is perfect. No one is perfect. Everyone makes mistakes. Sometimes people make mistakes. Sometimes people do something. People say something. Hide them. There's no need to even remind them, no need to expose them, no need to say anything, and no need to ever remind them about it, right? The more we forget the mistakes of other people, now we're talking about things that obviously are within the lines of Sharia, Amr bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar, right? Not things which are, and even if a person is sinning, if that person is sinning alone and you happen to see that person, it's not your responsibility to go and expose that person, right? There's a hadith, a very beautiful hadith, where I'm just paraphrasing, but the Prophet asks Imam Ali, he says, Ali, what would you do if you saw someone sinning? He said, I would cover him with my own abba. Yeah? And then he says, what if you see that person sinning again? And he says, I would cover him with my own abba. And then he said it a third time, and he repeated the same thing, and the Prophet says, there's really no one like you, Ali. Yeah? La fatah, Mr. Ali. Yeah? There's no human like Ali. There's no youth like Ali who thinks like that, who behaves like that, right? And so we try to align that. If we want God to commit or hide our sins, we have some responsibilities to do as well. The next is we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma qdi dayna kulli madin. That, O Allah, fulfill the debt of everyone who is indebted. Right? Yesterday we talked about poverty and the vileness of poverty and how none of us, inshallah, should experience poverty. And it is our responsibility to try and uplift all of humanity from poverty, not just believers, but all of humanity. Here we're talking about those who have a debt, right? You know, when you talk about debt, debt is something that weighs a person down, doesn't it, right? That is very difficult for a person to... It's almost like they have a rock on their chest and it's hard for them to breathe when there is a debt that is pending, that is due upon them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. He says, Iyakum waddain. He says, beware of debt. Iyakum waddain. Beware of debt. Fa'innahu hammun bil layl wa dhullun bin nahar. Because it is a form of grief during the night and a form of humiliation during the day. Right? How true, right? If you have a debt, if you have a bill, then you don't have the money to pay that bill, you don't sleep that night. You don't sleep that night at all. Yeah? And in the daytime, if you have to meet that person, it's a form of humiliation, isn't it? Right? If you have creditors calling you to pay the bill and you got to duck their phone call, it's not a good way of life, is it? Right? So, debts are something that we should really be careful about. Now, in the world that we live in here today, there are certain debts which are almost unavoidable. Like if you get a car, yeah, no one's going to have 40 grand to pay for a car. So you take a debt for that. Your mortgage payment would be a debt. And so these would be like acceptable debts. Now, obviously, you got to live within your means. So it's like if you got to know how much you make, you got to know how much your expenses are, then you get a car that fits that standard, right? But then there are other things that would be classified as unacceptable debts. Unacceptable debts would be to live beyond your means to now where you have credit card debt that you find difficult to pay off at the end of the month, right? Those would be debts that you have to try and figure out a solution around. Now, sometimes those are necessary because you lost a job, because there's a law, because of an income problem, understood. But then a lot of times, the reason why we have so much credit card debt is because we want to live a life that is not for us, yeah? That is beyond our means. We don't have to live that life. There's no one to impress in this world, right? If our job is to try to impress people and hence I live a life that is beyond my means to impress people, I'm never going to be successful. I'm never going to be happy, right? And another reason why these would be considered unacceptable debts is because I need to rein in my desires. Just because I want to buy something doesn't mean I need to buy it. You understand? Right? Just because something is available for purchase doesn't mean I have to purchase it. Like, we have to be smart about these things, because we are cautioned against falling into debt of that kind, which would be classified as unacceptable, right? And so here, when we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pay off this debt, this includes both, I think. People who got into a hole themselves, people who are in a hole that no due to their own. At the end of the day, we never want to see someone suffering. We are hoping that when they are able to come out of this debt, especially those who dug their own hole, that they wake up from that situation wiser, smarter, so that they don't make that mistake again. And that's the natural expectation, right? But for others as well who are in this problem, all of us who have a mortgage, who have a car payment, who have rent, may Allah help us fulfill this debt, yeah? Because it's not me who's paying it off, it's God's help that's doing it. We have to understand that as well, right? The income that I get, it's not me, it's Allah is being kind to me. Yeah, the grace is from God. And so, even though I may have the money to pay it off, if I have some form of outstanding debt, I still ask Allah, just the way if my health is strong, I still ask Allah for good health. I still ask Allah for the air to breathe. I still, because Allah is the true provider of all of these things. Now, another form of understanding of this, which is really cool, I think, as well, is that when we're saying to Allah, "Oh Allah, pay back the debt of all those who are indebted," we're actually talking about our spiritual state to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that we have is a loan from God. Everything that we have. Our health is a loan from God. Our life is a loan from God. Our clothing is a loan from God. Everything that we have is a loan from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence, I require the ability and the strength to pay back to God everything that He has given me. And I need His help to do so, right? And this is why this is also really important, that when you have the ability to do something, do not put it off. Do not put it off, right? You have the money saved up for Hajj, don't put it off. Go to Hajj. What are you waiting for? Right? Because you owe that to God. You have the ability, let's say we have the health now, and we look back in our lives and we all have these qadha salas that we have, these fasts that we have. What are we waiting for to pay it back? Pay it back now. Right? Because these are outstanding loans that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all have this idea that I will pay it back one day. Well, what's one day? When is one day? One day is now, right? One day is now, you start paying it back. And you pay it back slowly, slowly, no problem, right? But you pay it back because you recognize that there is an outstanding loan. And so it's really interesting, right? That we have to keep this in mind when we recite this dua. It's very beautiful. That I may have physical loans that I owe to people. And so I say, "Ya Allah, help me pay off these loans." But then, like, I owe all this to God, yeah? And I don't care to pay off to God. Don't you think God's laughing at us at that moment? Be like, "Look at this guy. He owes me 3 years of qadha salah. He owes me khums money outstanding. He owes me all of these things, and now he wants me to pay that off while I don't care about this." And you know what? God is merciful. He'll help us pay that off. But don't take God for granted, right? And so this is the month. Analyze your life. Write down what you owe to God and start a game plan of how to pay these debts back. And when I show God that I am truly committed to paying back my debts to Him, no doubt, Allah will shower His mercy upon us and help us pay the debts off that we owe to other people, inshallah. SubhanAllah, we spent 2 lectures, did 5 lines of this dua. There are 12 lines in this dua. But it gives you an idea that when we recite these words to God, man, there are layers of depth in them. There's beauty in them. Reflect on it, right? While you recite this dua, maybe pick one of these lines and just spend a few minutes thinking about it. I am confident you can go into extreme depth in it yourself. to figure out something you can do that is pleasant for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember me in your du'as. I will see you again inshallah if God gives us life in 10 days. And we'll see you then. Keep us in your du'as and you will be in mine and my family's as well inshallah. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the sins of our parents and loved ones, that for those who are going through difficulty, that He end their difficulty. For those that have asked us to pray for them, Ya Allah, accept their hajat. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give us enough tawfiq, that we leave the month of Ramadan as better people and better servants than we entered it, inshaAllah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. رحم الله من قرأ سورة المباركة الفاتحة مسبوقة بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.